from the twisted realm of science and the darkest pits of reason comes chilling tales of godlessness. Bear witness to the unfathomable terror that is the Good Atheist.
Dan Quayle?
I'm the next Dan Quayle. Thanks
you are
a lot,
the next.
Buddy.
You are the Dan Quayle of Atheist Podcasts. That is what you are.
All right, this episode we're gonna talk about a few things. Let's forget what you were gonna say.
Are you sure? Can we just? Because this is the first show since my show, since my Totally Awesome show. And I just, before we got started, I wanted to ask you, what did everybody think? What was the reaction? Did people love it? You loved it, didn't you?
Are you asking me or are you asking the people in the microphone?
Well, the people in the microphone can't respond, so I'm asking them through you.
I already said I thought that your attempt to use sex to get ratings was cheap.
Sex sells, baby.
It
I
does
love
sell.
It.
I didn't deny that. I just said it's cheap. It's cheap, mister. Anyways, let's get off your ego for just 5 seconds. It'll concentrate on mine.
Okay.
So today, this episode, we're going to talk about a couple things. Some of them may seem related to religion. Some of them are a little bit off topic because they're just something that I want to get off my chest. Number one, we're going to talk about a group called Anonymous. They're a group of hackers that are trying to bring down Scientology. Also, we're going to talk a little bit about the power of the presidency and also, interestingly enough, all this debate surrounding Barack Obama's religious upbringing and history. And finally, we're also going to talk about something that happened in U.S. politics that has me shivering in my spine. But again, as the hook, we'll keep that till the end. You like that? These hooks that I'm trying?
Very nice. Yeah, very nice. Just to keep people from turning it off after I get my part done.
Why are we all focused on you, huh? Are you the good atheist?
It's a battle now, man. It is a battle.
All right, fine, whatever. If you want to lose. Okay, first up. This group called Anonymous. Ryan, tell us a little bit about this.
Well, there's these idiots out there.
Idiots, all right.
They are idiots. And basically, they put out a YouTube video saying, "We are coming to destroy Scientology. Ooh!" And basically, what they're doing is they're DDoSing. They're basically using like a big network of computers to fire a huge amount of traffic at Scientology websites to bring them down under the weight of all of the traffic. And they're posting up the same, stupid stuff that we already knew about Scientology onto all these different websites, documents and stories of scandals and all that stuff about, L. Ron Hubbard creating the religion on a dare, blah, 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 blah. So this is their attempt to take down Scientology. Oh, and they've been doing a couple of marches and stuff like that.
Yeah, they've actually, a whole bunch of computer nerds have gotten together. I think it's probably a first outside of a Star Wars convention. Also, to clarify, the group uses heavily sites like Dig, for instance, which are link aggregators to try to produce advertising for the movement, stuff like that. But what I've noticed as of late is that it's heavily been reduced in terms of fizzling almost as rapidly as it started. I mean, the whole idea behind it seemed, at least at the time, like a good idea. Just like whenever you're trying to sort of, like, you and your buddies have been drinking and you're like, "Hey, what are we going to do today?" And somebody comes out with a seemingly brilliant thing saying, like, "Let's go to a construction yard and destroy the place," and it sounds like a great idea. And then you get arrested.
Yeah. The thing about it is that their plan is so short-sighted and it's so stupid. It's just like, "We're going to fight Scientology, and how we're going to do that, we're going to take down their website." And I'm like, okay, first off, the DDoS attacks didn't even work all that well. They worked for a couple of days while Scientology was unprepared, and then Scientologists just did what any site does when they're getting DDoSed, which is they
hire a really smart guy
to protect the website and to filter out all of the bogus
and to redirect all those attacks to somewhere else, which, interestingly enough, ended up being a Danish primary school.
So
they got smashed.
So I am not a fan of Scientology. I've heard all about it. Personally, to me, overall, I don't really care about it because I say stupid people get what stupid people deserve.
That's not what I feel, but go ahead, finish that sentence.
This is why there are two of us, Jacob, because that's like two...
Yeah, you always need a right opinion and an incorrect opinion, and I'm glad that you provide that.
And this week, I am on the show, and I am not the yes man, so I'm going to tell you what I think.
All right, all
is
right.
that cool? Is are we
is
done
this
with
is
that?
Because you know, because of my sickness, I've been reduced in strength.
He's too weak. Normally, he is the guy with the really strong opinions, but this week I am overpowering him, and I am saying, as I said. So, I mean, Scientologists, you know, not my top favorite religions, top five, top ten, not even top 20. I'd say they're down below Hare Krishnas
and Harry Potter
and that what were the Jonestown or whatever the Kool-Aid people were.
One of them, I guess. So, Koresh's guys or
so
whatever.
Even though I am not a big fan of Scientology, I think what Anonymous is doing is stupid, and I think it is actually morally wrong, and as good atheists, we should be against it.
All right, let me cover my drug-induced sick opinion on this one. I have to say, when I first heard about the campaign, I mean, it intrigued me. It intrigued me because here were a group of young, idealistic individuals that wanted to bring down an organization that I see as inherently wicked, and not in the good sense, not in the wicked, but really rather as in disastrous, like ruin people's lives, destroy families. This is the kind of organization that Scientology is. I'm not going to point to any particular example. You can go to the McPherson Foundation to find out all about Scientology and really how they destroy people's lives. But really, the prospect is what created, at least in me, a certain level of interest. What I was disappointed at was the way they go about this. And the way they go about this is, in my opinion, both juvenile and very poorly planned out. When you try to bring down an organization as powerful and as rich as Scientology, the way to do that is not really by attacking these unimportant third-tier,
websites.
I mean, like, perhaps to these nerds, yeah, websites are a big deal. Because they live on websites.
Because that's the only representation they have of themselves out there. It's like, you know, as far as they're concerned, on a global basis, they don't exist outside of their own town except in web form.
Exactly. But Scientology's grip has nothing to do with their website. Their website is just merely one method of publication and of awareness. I mean, I've been to the site. It's the most pathetic site you've ever been in. It looks like it was made in 1997.
And I would actually say that for Scientology, the web is probably the most, it's probably the place that they focus the least amount of effort on, because they know that they have basically already lost the battle for there. It's like, you know, where is Scientology going to concentrate? Are they going to concentrate on Germany where everybody has basically outlawed them and called them a cult? Or are they going to stick around in America? It's the same thing. I mean, the internet, everybody is allowed to say whatever they want to say about them. It is not the place for them to thrive, so they don't really give that much of a shit about what goes on there.
Yeah, you have to look at how Scientology really became quote-unquote an organized religion, and part of the way they did that is they integrated and infiltrated themselves in politics, in business, and a lot of these people are really prominent. They're visible. They're not anonymous, and the problem with creating a war of anonymity is that there are no people that we can rally behind. There are no individual faces. They're just basically a bunch of hackers, and we all know how we feel personally about hackers. These are the same individuals that crash my own site or give me viruses. These aren't people that I trust. These aren't people that I necessarily look up to. They're, you know, rebels without a cause. This is my initial problem. My other problem too is that they have to consider the fact that, you know, to take down Scientology is going to be like perhaps like the most challenging thing that they've ever done. I mean, it would be like
more challenging than getting free porn passes to Playboy.com.
Something along those lines, yes.
Boing.
And I'm not saying the idea is wrong, but again, I mean, like, the internet's a great tool, and I'm not going to deny it, but a lot of the grassroots movements should be, you know, directed outside of it. Like, I think the first thing that we have to do, at least in the States, is to revoke the tax exemption status of the church. Because when they are tax exempt, we don't get to see their books. We just don't. And we don't know how they funnel money. Like, they are an organization whose primary interest is in making money. And unfortunately, you know, their books are cooked. Their books are cooked. So whatever we're seeing is a load of BS. And why should they be getting tax exempt status? That is essentially you paying for them to have, like, you know, their Dianetic centers, because as a tax exempt, they, you know, at the end of the day, they're not paying for that shit. And I'm like, that is annoying. I'm like, if you can do that, if you can revoke their tax exempt status, you would be, that would be the biggest blow. And how do you do that? Well, it has to be a grassroots kind of thing. You have to demonstrate how the group is more of a cult than it is a religion. And that's going to be tough because there's a lot of really powerful and popular people that seem to lend credence to it. The other thing that I would do is I would stop them from having access to prisoners and to people that are addicted to their Crimeanon and Narcanon organizations, which are just basically methods for them to keep recruiting and brainwashing individuals into the organization. To get them to stop doing that is going to be another really wicked blow, because these are the ways in which they primarily recruit people. So you have to target the way that they recruit, not target the organization as a whole and as like a cohesive group. You have to go to those stragglers that are going to them, and you have to give them more better alternatives, and that's just not what they're doing. They're going around smashing people in the head, tearing down sites, and putting a lot of collateral damage in the way, and it just seems completely retarded to me.
I don't even think they're doing a lot of collateral damage or anything at all. I mean, as we've already said, you know, the fact that they're exposing Scientology out on the internet to anybody who want to look, anybody that wants to look into Scientology on the internet already knows. It's the fact that no one gives a damn. No one gives a crap about what's going on. So if you want, as Anonymous, to take down Scientology, you got to raise awareness, but you got to do it in a lot better idea than just a YouTube video that just states who you are. I mean, that video didn't even really explain. It basically said, oh, you guys are being bad for taking down. That's the thing. This whole thing comes across to me as a half-baked idea that got picked up by a couple of media things and got blown out of proportion. And they're doing, the best that they can. I mean, they're organizing a couple of marches and stuff like that, which, you know, that is grassroots. That does raise awareness. But as Jake said, if you want to take down Scientology for real, if you're not just interested in creating a bit of a stink, then what you really got to do is you got to hit them where it hurts. And that's, you gotta hurt their ability to recruit, which is by cutting them out of, picking up criminals who have nothing to live for, and alcoholics and drug addicts who are obviously susceptible, and to hit them in their funding, which basically is to hit their tax exempt status. Now, just to be an equal opportunity hater here, all right, I honestly think that no religions should be tax exempt.
I absolutely agree.
But obviously, that ain't going to happen anytime soon.
You got to pick your battles.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, once again, to me, you got to get rid of a tax exemption for churches and all the tax breaks for the rich and everything else. But that's a whole global
you
thing.
You filthy communist, you.
I know. But anyways.
We're social democrats here in Canada. We can't help it.
But for these guys here to be doing this ridiculous, hacking thing. And I mean, and they're not even doing it right. I mean, to me, and again, I just want to say, I do not approve of this at all, because, I mean, when you take a look at, say, what they're doing to Scientology, because they disagree with Scientology, how is that any different from, say, what a fundamentalist Islam student would be doing? Say, I disagree with, the values of America, so I'm going to take down these websites.
This financial website.
Exactly. It's the exact same thing. And that is not the
way. You know what it is? It's terrorism light. Is what.
It's only light because we agree with what they're doing.
Yep.
So, I mean, and I do a lot of controversial things. I love sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So it's like, what happens when somebody suddenly decides, Ryan, I don't like what you're doing, so I'm going to take you down.
I'm going to destroy your financial records, and I'm going to just make you broke. Be like, oh, thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, so it's like, I don't like what these guys are up to. But if I was going to do it, I would do it a lot better. and Scientology is lucky that I'm not the one running this thing. Because, I mean, if you get some serious hackers involved in this, you get into Scientologists' emails, and you get access to what's actually being said and what's actually being done.
Much more interesting.
It would be much more interesting because, I mean, we said it ourselves that there's obviously fishy stuff going on with where the money's going, what it's being used for, and the motives of the church and the morals of the church. If you get access to what's being said between the members and you put this information out there, then that's a lot more damaging than the Scientology website not being available for 3 or 4 days, or
oh no, where will I get where will I order a copy of Dianetics?
Or like hosting the South Park episode about Scientology. It's like, you guys are stupid. What are you, 12 years old? God
yeah, most
damn
of
you
probably,
all. If
yeah.
you are a part of Anonymous, I'm not saying shame on you because I say, hey, congratulations because you're trying to do something, but for God's sakes, think it through a little bit.
All right, let's move on to the next subject. just let's talk about Obama and how there seems to be this really hilarious thing going on. Everybody's being like, he's a Muslim, and all this other kind of stuff.
And we know about this because there's been a lot of chatter. We've been talking a lot about this with ourselves and other friends on the internet about how Americans, I mean, at this point, are really pretty much anti-Muslims. And Muslims are the new... are the new group that it is fashionable to be relatively
it's the new Hispanics, just like before that, it was the new black people. Yeah, it's just, what group are you going to pick today? Be like, who am I going to pick today? Oh, I know Muslim people.
Yeah, exactly.
They scare me.
And basically, you know, there's 1,001 ways you can see this in action. But one of the ways you can see it is in the fact that you've got Barack Obama, who's running for the presidency of the United States. And, of course, what's going around in chain email letters and in forums and so forth is that Barack Obama is a filthy Muslim. and just the idea that people are putting this out there and the fact that it's a really big issue. I mean, the Obama campaign is actually working really hard to try and say, hey, I'm not a Muslim. And it's pretty funny. So basically what you have is you have an email circulating that is saying, is suggesting that he's hiding his Islamic roots and that he was sworn into the Senate on a Quran, and that he turns his back on the flag during the pledge. Now, there's other stuff going around saying that he grew up, the fact that his name, middle name is Hussein, which is true, and that his father and stepfather were Muslim, which is also true. And the other thing that they're trying to throw some information on, some darkness on, is the fact that he spent a part of his childhood in Indonesia, which is largely Muslim. And that they're trying to say the implication is that he went to a madrasa school, which is basically a radical Muslim education.
Basically,
system.
The only thing you learn is the Quran, and you just repeat it again and again and again and again.
Exactly.
Until you know by heart. That's a lot of fun.
Yeah,
a lot of fun.
So these are all of the claims that are being going around. And again, as I said, some are true, some are not. The fact that, you know, his middle name is Hussein.
Oh, my God. You can't have a president whose middle name is Hussein. That would be outrageous. I'm interested to see, because my prediction is that he is going to be the Democratic candidate. He's going to I believe he's going to beat Hillary. Mm-hmm. And then it's going to be him and McCain. It's going to be really interesting to see a stuffy white guy who is supposedly represents the value of, like, the fundamental group, like, much more. And this black guy who has a middle name that is Hussein.
Mm-hmm. Muslim dad.
Muslim dad. And I'm just like...
And spent a couple years growing up in Indonesia. I mean, John McCain spent a couple years over in Vietnam.
Yeah, as a prisoner.
Yes.
Does that mean he's a filthy atheist now? Did they drive God out of him?
Yeah, communism and everything else like that. Hey, I mean...
He's a commie. He's a filthy commie. he had to sacrifice his values while he was a prisoner. Yeah. He's brainwashed. Mm-hmm. What we don't know is they implanted a chip in McCain's head. Yeah, mm-hmm. They did. I'm just starting a rumor here.
Well, hey, I mean,
it's just as good as the whole Obama turning his back on the flag there.
I just like the fact that they're trying to push this idea of Obama being a Muslim and saying you shouldn't vote for him. I mean, even if it's just the idea of saying, well, his dad was a Muslim, so you shouldn't vote for him, and he grew up in Indonesia, so you shouldn't vote for him. These are like pretty. I mean, it astounds me to the degree that that Americans will actually care about this stuff. And I mean, as I said, we've seen that they do seem to care quite a bit.
Here's what's going to happen. I think is going to be very interesting. If Obama wins, or if he comes really close, here's what's going to happen. Basically, it could cast a very interesting light on racism in the United States, because, say he does win, but there was a whole group of people saying, like, we don't want a black president, so on and so forth. Now they have to accept through the, you know, not just through the power of the presidency, mm-hmm. but through the office, the dignity of the office themselves. They have to question to themselves even their own prejudices, because now, like, it's almost like you're forced to accept that. Like, your daughter marries a black man, and mm-hmm. you didn't like black people. All of a sudden, you're forced to see not only this person as human, but this person as your president, who has a status mm-hmm. that is above yours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, I think it'll be interesting, because all of those people that maintain those old prejudices, and I'm sure there's going to be a certain group, probably the... you know, like the vast majority of those that say, well, I don't know, I don't trust him, blah, blah, blah. They're going to see him not only a human, but as this charismatic, powerful, and inspiring leader. And they're going to feel this conflict, and I think in that sense may shame others that are still on that fence or who may be completely like, I don't like black people, well, I don't trust them. Like, I think it'll be, it asks a new interesting, it adds a new interesting dynamic to the whole thing where all of a sudden, I mean, could this be the end of racism? I'm not saying it is, but it really kind of puts it out there, and now you know you have to deal with your own racism if it's something that upsets you. Mm-hmm. And I think that they themselves would probably feel shame for not supporting their, you know, president, the institution themselves, simply because of those silly prejudices. And I think that would be a very, very interesting thing.
Oh, Jake, you're such an optimist.
I am an optimist.
You know what I think? I think if Obama wins, he'll get shot within 3 months.
You watch too much 24.
I'm sorry, man.
He's not going to get shot.
I love Obama, and I'm not recommending that anybody shoot him or anything. I just want to make that clear. I'm just, again, it's like, you know, the anonymous thing where I'm saying, you know, I don't like what they do. It's like this with Obama. It's like, I love Obama. I think he's going to be great for the country. And as you say, it's really going to make a difference as far as race relations. And I think America is ready to take that step.
They need to take that step
because there's something healing about getting a black president. And, you know, there's even something healing to a degree about getting a female president in there, but it's more like, I mean, you know, as far as like male female inequalities and everything like that, it's not the same as the race tensions in America. And once you have a black president in power, I think it really enables a lot of people to realize that, okay, to recognize how far America has come from the days of slavery.
Well, from 40 years ago, where they were using high pressure hoses to keep down,
allowed to ride on the same, you know.
It's pretty damn crazy when you think about it. Yeah. But this is the speed in which these kinds of things move. I mean, if you look at about how acceptable racism was 40 years ago, and 20 years ago, and 2 years ago, I mean, these are huge, huge, huge differences. And each one of them becomes like, as new, you know, each new generation, it becomes kind of like leaps and bounds. Mm. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what the dynamic is.
And now, boy, will the shit hit the fan when somebody does shoot him.
Okay, moving on to that. I just want to talk...
Is a little bit too controversial?
Just a little too controversial.
Just a little too controversial. Yeah.
Because I don't want to even be associated with something like that happens. They're going to come back, and they're going to be like, listen what Ryan said, and we're just going to get a phone tapped. On that, let's move to the subject that I wanted to talk about.
About phone taps.
About phone tapping. Yeah. This is actually what I wanted to talk about. Now, as you may or may not be aware of, there was talk over the past few months about whether or not the Senate was going to pass a bill that would give immunity to the telecom companies that basically helped Bush with his illegal wiretaps. Now, the Senate, being completely and utterly spineless, has decided that they were going to pass this, and in so doing, said yes to tyranny and no to the Fourth Amendment. Mm-hmm. And it's a very, very, very frightening prospect, and I'm sure everyone's going to try to wash it under the rug, but I wanted to mention it, even though it's not my job as the good atheist, quote-unquote.
Well, I don't know. I think morality expands past beyond issues of religion,
right?
It's a political issue.
Like, basically, you can't separate the two, and for me, like, the idea of America as a place which, you know, stands for liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and
freedom,
and that kind of stuff. It always and
no, it's a killer sales pitch.
Tyrannical government.
Tyrannosaurus.
Our government. Anytime something like that happens, like the alarm bells go off, because each step is towards one type of dictatorship. And in the States, at least for me, there is always that possibility of a, you know, theocratic oligarchy taking over. I mean, it is a real possibility. You look at guys like Huckabee, right? And you're like, wow, this is really... There is a certain segment of the population that would love nothing more than to have, like, church and state fuse back again. And that's a really frightening prospect, especially when about 50% of the electorate think that Jesus is either possibly coming back within their lifetime or definitely coming back within their lifetime. And that's a very, very, very frightening thing. But moving on beyond that is one of the things that pissed me off too. And this is, again, sort of like an Obama versus Clinton thing. Mm-hmm. Hillary Clinton chose not to vote on this issue. Any of you still on the fence about who you would support, I suggest you reexamine who is more likely to support, you know, the idea behind that piece of paper you call a constitution. At least Obama said nay, which is not what the majority of the Democrats voted, unfortunately. And it just boggles my freaking mind how you can allow these spineless bastards to keep representing you when their obvious collusion between government and corporations is so see-through an infant can see through them. I'm sorry to go on this rant, but for God's sakes, watch as everything you believe begins to crumble. Not just from this moment, but this is probably the straw that breaks the camel's back. And you are headed backwards every single time they vote for that. You know what the responses are. You know that, you know, the right thing is impossible. What kind of a nightmarish 1984-esque world are you living in which telecom companies are given immunity in perpetuity, going backwards and forwards now? And this thing is going to last 6 years if it passes in Congress. Now, I don't know if I can tell enough of you to pick up a freaking phone or to write a letter, because Congress still has to approve it. And if they don't, it could stall and just basically go nowhere, and that's the best thing you can possibly hope for. Although the possibility of that is not very high, and most of you are probably just going to ignore everything that I just said.
But for God's sakes, we're Canadians, and we can't do anything about it. So you guys have to do this.
I could go back in time and ask for a visa and work in the States for 4 years so I could at least have the power to vote, but I don't have that power.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The one thing that I was thinking is that, as strange as it may seem, I believe that Canadians should at least have a say into who you vote for. Because we are like, you know, the 52nd state, quite honestly. I mean, what you do affects us and affects the rest of the world. You don't think it does? I mean, who you pick for president has a huge impact on the rest of the world. And we have no say?
Well,
I'm sorry, because you know what? It doesn't look like you guys can handle it anymore. You don't care enough. You're not passionate enough. You let that shit slide. That's it. You guys are done. Let the rest of the world vote for your politicians, because you obviously can't represent yourselves anymore. You obviously put up with this garbage. No? I mean, is it just me here? I'm outraged. Mm. I'm so outraged, I'm not even talking about religion anymore. I'm talking about politics. Unbelievable.
It's a moral issue. It's a moral issue.
I feel like my cold is getting worked out through my blood boiling. I think that's how you basically get rid of a cold.
You know, it's quite impressive. You've turned red.
I have turned red. You're physically turning red, but that's also because of the extreme illness that I'm under. And yet, still passionate about this issue. And mm-hmm. I wish all of you were just half as passionate, just as Americans. Please, for God's sakes, do something about this.
I guess the main thing that I feel about this whole thing is, I mean, you gotta have your morals in line. And I mean, you can nitpick and you can create ridiculous doomsday scenarios where you're able to justify giving these people,
exactly
allow letting these people get away with tapping the phones, or, you know, creating a scenario where it's okay to waterboard people, or creating a scenario where it's okay for us to, okay to be in Iraq doing all of this stuff, or it's even, you know, you can justify reasons where it's okay to drop an atomic bomb on a country. And honestly, what you really have to do is you just have to have your set core of morals where you say, you know what, there is no situation where this is all right. And you have to say, as a educational person, you can't just create these ridiculous scenarios. You have to put the people in power that will be able to avoid getting stuck in such ridiculous, stupid scenarios. And past that point, if they get in those situations, you have to boot them out, is basically what it comes down to.
Well, I remember, and I've said this time and time again, that one of the dangers in trying to create a logical argument for anything, I mean, be it waterboarding or be it why we should be a Christian nation, or even why we should all be atheists, if you create this logical, rational argument, you always run the danger of being able to rationalize just about anything. And really, I think that there is an innate part of each human being that we often don't really realize that we have. And there's this particular instinct that, you know, we possess, this knowledge, this intuition that we have about what's right and what isn't right. And anytime you look at a situation, you can see and you can dissect it, and you can tell from that intuition whether or not it's reasonable or unreasonable. And it's not something where you're guided by your passions. You're just guided by that strict intuition of trying to step out of yourself and say, am I doing the right thing? And you don't always, it's not always clear, and sometimes you may be really confused. But this is one of those situations where you really have to ask yourself, are we really doing the right thing? And the answer is no. The only reason why anyone would back this is because they're talking from a position of either fear or of, you know,
pandering.
Pandering or, you know, just like this foxy kind of what's more, you know, craftiness that they decide, well, you know, if I do this, I'm going to get paid by my buddy. You know, pretty much greed, well, Erebus, and all of the worst qualities of mankind.
I'll tell you what the logical reasoning behind everybody in politics voting yes on this thing is. This is basically, oops, our government asked these phone companies to do this. So, and now we're gonna throw the book at them for them agreeing to do something that we ask. Because, I mean, the thing is, you can't punish the phone companies without punishing the people who asked the phone companies to do this. You know what I mean? It's kind of like there's going to be too much collateral damage if you make the phone companies liable. But what Bush isn't liable?
Well, that's exactly why they wanted it to be silent. I mean, mm-hmm. and also because there seemed to be evidence that this happened prior to the September 11th attacks, mm-hmm. which all of a sudden is a very, 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 very frightening prospects for these individuals. But I don't even see why, because the American public seemed utterly gutless to bring that man to justice.
You know what? I'll just give you an idea, because I spend a little bit of time down in the States from time to time, and I talk to a lot of people, and at this point, it is so close to the elections coming out now that most people are just keeping their heads down. And they just don't want to
rock the boat.
Well, they're just waiting for it to be over.
They don't want two presidents to be impeached in a row. Essentially, yeah. that's it.
And what just upsets me the most about that is the fact that
the first one was there for a blowjob, and the second one has 168 different impeachable offenses to his name. 168, and those are conservative numbers that I've read from even conservative Republican sites that want him gone. And 168.
Yeah. I don't think there's been anybody in a long time who's done more to completely set the country back.
Nope.
Anyway, I guess we've wrapped this political issue up in a moral bow. I think we did a pretty good job of it, and hopefully we didn't piss off too many people out there. We only say this because we love you guys.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I mean, what I was saying at the beginning was that freedom, justice, liberty, and the American way, it's a great sales pitch. I love that sales pitch. But you know what? I'm getting the buyer's remorse here because I got the product. And I'll tell you the truth, it's not living up. It's like I got a Bowflex, and it turns out it's a pretty big piece of crap. So,
but it just sits there and just takes up all the room.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's
and it just costs me a lot of money.
So, you know, I want that Bowflex experience that I saw in the infomercial. I want that those rippling. I want that sexiness.
Bro, you want that,
can you give me that sexiness?
Give me that illusion. You know, for me, my disillusionment is this: that the principles are. At least the founding principles are so powerful that, you know, there would be consideration for me that if those principles were in jeopardy, that I would fight for them. And I don't say that about a lot of things. Mm-hmm. But I believe that those principles themselves are important, or ideas that are important. And yet, I would never fight for the United States as it stands now because it has abandoned those principles. And I think that is the greatest shame. That and it's not even like it's too late. It's not. The American public has it within their power to take their country back. I mean, you do. You have that ability, and yet you choose not to exercise it. And that's why I'm losing faith here, people. And I use faith with a kind of a tongue-in-cheek kind of a...
Ooh, good one. I wasn't actually paying attention to you at that point, but...
You zoned out? Yeah. Oh, thanks a lot, co-host.
But you reeled me back in. Congratulations.
There we go. Well, I had to use the word. Anyways, that's the wrap-up for this week. Sorry, I just want to make a mention. Sorry about the bit of a delay on the radio show. We've been extremely busy.
Jake
and a little
was
tired.
Just having a really hard time trying to figure out how he's going to top my totally sweet sex.
Yeah, that was a problem. No, it's like it's one of those things where you make a show and once you have to be insightful and slightly intelligent, and sometimes you don't feel it. You don't got it. I have dumb moments. I have plenty of them, and I just don't want them to be recorded and in the ether of the internet.
Yeah.
Only so much embarrassment that a man can take. And besides, I didn't have a follow-up to your skanky show.
Yeah, now we just have this, ripping America a new anus show.
I think that it's going to be a big hit. I mean, most of the people who listen probably want to see it torn a new anus.
And I just want to say, we ain't siding one way or another, Republican, Democrat, honestly, to us, it's all the same. We just want it to be fixed.
Please fix yourself, because you make me very scared. You're very, very, you know what? You're like a Jenga piece, and every time a person takes a part out, you're just like, oh my God, it's going to fall. But your Jenga piece is next to our really, you know, sort of like eggshells, and you threaten us. You're threatening us.
That was the worst
analogy? I can't. Well, the Jenga thing is good. I just don't know what the Jenga piece could fall on. Yeah.